Welcome, everybody. Welcome to Return to Shambhala. This is Vicki Goodwin. I'm your host. And tonight, December the 19th, I have a guest who's been on before a couple of times, Wayne Purdine. And we're here to talk about an event that's happening over the New Year's. Hi, Wayne. How are you?
Hi, Vicki. I'm great. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. I'm very good. I think that I'd like to mention our website first, the Heart Center website where the information is located, and then let you speak to what you would like to talk about the event that's coming up over the new year.
If your listeners would like to find out more about the conference, they can go to www.heartcenter.org, and that's hearts plural with an S, and it's all one word, heartscenter.org. So I'd like to invite your listeners to attend the conference, and to entice them to attend, I'd like to talk a lot about the conference. So, and if you have any questions, you can just interrupt.
Okay.
Is it okay if I just start talking?
Yeah, please do. Go ahead.
So the title of the theme of the conference is 2012, the Year of Mankind's Awakening. And it's a spiritual retreat for those who would lead us into a new age of enlightenment. And it's from December 29th through January 1st, and it's going to be at the Spirit in the Desert Retreat Center in Carefree, Arizona. And I've been there a couple of times, and it's one of the most beautiful retreat centers I've seen anywhere. And it's in the desert, but it's very close to the downtown Carefree. Just a short walk from downtown, but it's a beautiful setting with the Sonora desert plants all around, and in water fountains. There's a huge labyrinth that people can walk, and also there's a meditative trail that has benches where people can sit and meditate during their walk. So it's a delightful retreat center. And also has a swimming pool and a jacuzzi. It used to be a restaurant that had about 16 different small dining rooms, each with its own decor and cuisine. And they converted it into each dining room into a bedroom. So the bedrooms are huge. They're like twice the size of a normal resort bedroom. And each bedroom has a own refrigerator, microwave, sink. So if you don't want to take advantage of the dining facility there, you could have your own food. But the dining, I was just looking at the menu a little while ago, and it's very delicious and nutritious meals. And every meal has a vegetarian entree. So enough about the facility. I'd like to get right into the conference.
Sure.
And I'll talk about the theme. Well, one of the themes is using the elements of nature to support human evolution. And these will be in different presentations on the sun and flower essences, the work of the bees, and also rain or water. And another theme of the conference is raising our consciousness and the consciousness of the planet through devotional music or bhajans and kirtan. And we'll be doing a lot of kirtan music, playing with harmonium and tabla and singing and dancing. We're having Ivanka Grambalova, a Bulgarian folk dancer, from the Phoenix International Folk Dance Society. She'll be giving a demonstration of Bulgarian folk dances and other dances from other countries, and that'll be New Year's Eve. But the conference starts on Thursday the 29th at 5 o'clock with a welcoming message from David Lewis, the spiritual director of the Heart Center, as he is inspired by the Ascended Master Lomelo, who's one of the sponsors of the Heart Center. And he'll be talking about the mission and vision of the Heart Center. And then at 6 o'clock, we'll have the first meal. And I think there's, well, I forget what's on the menu for that night, but it's going to be really good.
Mm-hmm.
And all the food is freshly cooked, and it'll be buffet style. And only honey and agave are going to be used as sweeteners with the desserts. There's no sugar. And
That's great.
As I said before, every meal has vegetarian entrees. And after dinner, David will deliver a heart stream from the Ascended Master El Moria, another sponsor of the Heart Center, who also has sponsored a number of movements of the Great White Brotherhood in the past, such as the Theosophical Society, the Agni Yoga Society, Bridge to Freedom, and the Summit Lighthouse. And he'll be giving a review of the year 2011. So that's the first day, Thursday. And Friday morning, I'll be there right at the crack of dawn to lead people in sun gazing. And then that'll be followed by Tai Chi from a Tai Chi instructor, Joel. And around 8:30 that morning, Master Omram will be speaking on enlightenment through your solar presence. Now, I have a special relationship with Master Omram. He's one of my sponsoring masters. And I have a funny story to tell.
Mm-hmm.
Back in 2008, the summer of 2008, during the Heart Center's summer conference, my wife and I were going to be late for Omram's message that morning. And I told her, oh, don't worry, Omram's not a disciplinarian like other masters like Serapis Bey, for example. But she insisted that we hurry, so we got there just in the nick of time. We got in the room right before they closed it, and no sooner had I sat down than Master Omram said through David, I am a disciplinarian.
Oh, that's funny.
That was both amazing and funny. And that really brought home to me how the masters really listen to your unspoken questions and
mm-hmm.
thoughts, and they can communicate with you through David. And last year, last year's New Year's conference, I had several experiences like that where I would ask a question of the master who was giving a message, and like a minute or two later, the master would say something that was a direct answer to my question. For example, when Saint Germain was giving his message, I had the thought in my mind was, why did he work behind the scene in his past embodiments, like his Francis Bacon? And so I thought that would be an interesting question to ask during a darshan. Now, a darshan is when the masters either ask the audience questions or the audience asks the master's questions. But my question was mental, but about a minute after I thought it, Saint Germain said, and I will no longer work behind the scenes, but I will work more directly and openly through my chelas. And so there were like two or three other instances like that with other masters during the conference. And I think the reason why it happened so frequently last year is because I was sitting in the front row, and usually I sit in the second row or further back. And I think when you sit in the front row at a Heart Center conference, there's nothing between you and the aura of the master. Like, there's not a row of people in front of you with their auras that are interfering with the mental communication between you and the master. So, and this year at the conference, they're going to arrange there's a large meeting room, and we can put about 50 seats in a large circle.
And oh,
David
good.
Would be at one end of the circle. So there won't be any interference. And I think everyone would have more of a direct communication with the masters.
Right. That is nice when you're in a circle. I like the circles.
And also when you're in a circle, you know, everyone is equal. There's no favored people sitting in the front row.
Yeah, like reserved seats and that kind of thing.
There's no leader sitting facing everyone. The leader is part of the circle. So it's more of a egalitarian seating arrangement. So I'm looking forward to Master Omran's message Friday morning. And after his message, there's going to be a short movie, a tribute to the sun. And at noon, Jackie Fleeter from Tucson is going to talk about building a Vastu temple. Now, some of your audience may not know what Vastu is, but I think a lot of people know what feng shui is. And Vastu is sort of like the Indian version of feng shui, only it's supposed to be much older and more sacred. I think feng shui's sort of been westernized a lot. It's more like it's becoming kind of a superstition. But feng shui has a very ancient and deeply spiritual tradition. And Jackie has studied with a Vastu master, and part of her coursework was to build a temple, a Vastu temple.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, and it's near Patagonia, and after the conference, several people are going to drive down to Patagonia to meditate in her temple. And it's supposed to be a very profound experience meditating in a Vastu temple. So I'm looking forward to doing that. And so after Jackie's presentation, there'll be lunch. And after lunch, one of the two main presenters, Cynthia Scherer, also of Tucson, will be speaking on cactus flowers and evolution in consciousness, exploring how the evolving cactus family's flower essences support human evolution. And I've never met Cynthia, but I've read some of her work, and she is both an intuitive healer and a scientist. Now, some people may have heard of Dr. Edward Bach and his Bach flower remedies. And Dr. Bach was also an intuitive healer, but he didn't use the scientific method much. He just intuited how certain flower essences affected him. And he assumed that they would have the same effect on everyone. So he developed his flower remedies based mainly on his own intuition of that he tuned into the flowers that he experimented with. And Cynthia also would meditate in front of a desert flower or plant, and she would get impressions about how that plant could be used, the flower essence could be used for healing. But she also went a further step in experimenting on people to verify her intuition. So her system of desert flower essences is supported by a lot of, I think, over 20 years of research went into her book. She has a huge book. I think it's close to 900 pages long.
Wow, that's quite a project.
That gives the healing effects of hundreds of desert flowers and plants. So I'm looking forward to hearing her presentation too, and on the cactus flower essences, which I believe directly affect our consciousness, raise our consciousness. And Cynthia is also a musician and singer.
Uh-huh.
So
Friday I didn't know that.
Yeah, she's going to be playing a harmonium, and her partner's coming along with, he's bringing his tabla, and we're going to be singing some Hindu kirtan songs, and we'll also be dancing to the music.
That's fun.
So that should be fun.
That will be.
And after the singing, we're going to show a documentary movie called Queen of the Sun, What the Bees Are Telling Us. And this is an award-winning documentary. And it tells the story of how the bees are essential for life. You know, without the bees, we can't have fruits and vegetables.
Mm-hmm.
And how the environmental pollution is having a serious effect on the bee population. So much so that farmers have to truck beehives from one place to another so that the bees can pollinate their crops. So that's pretty much it for Friday. Excuse me. On Saturday, we'll hear from the other main speaker, Chris Anderson of Sedona, talking about saving rain for a sunny day, creating abundance with permaculture and rainwater harvesting. I interviewed Chris last month for an article in Four Corners magazine, and he's a very intelligent, funny speaker, and he has a lot of practical solutions for people who live in desert environments like Arizona, such as planting edible landscape, you know, citrus plants and other plants, recycling water, and other techniques that can turn a desert into an oasis. And he's taught in all over Arizona and other states and countries. He recently came back from Israel and Lebanon, where he attended a conference. And my article in the Four Corners magazine is mainly about what he learned at that conference. So if people want to read about it, they can go to, I think it's the number 4 www.theallcorners.com. So that's Saturday morning and afternoon. And Saturday night, after the Ivanka's folk dancing, there's going to be an hour and a half break during which people can write their letter to the Great Karmic Board. And this is something we do every New Year's and also every 4th of July. What we do is we address a letter to the Great Karmic Board asking for dispensations in our personal lives and in the affairs of our community, state, nation, and the world. And that's only part of the letter. The second half of the letter is pledging to do spiritual work for the masters and other actions to help the Great White Brotherhood. And at the end of the evening, all these letters are collected in a basket, and after everything's done, they're burned. They're consecrated and burned. So that's a little tradition of the Heart Center Conference. And it's been done in other movements of the Great White Brotherhood, like the Summit Lighthouse.
And then that way the Ascended Masters and the Angelics, they know what you're interested in, what you want. It's written down, uh-huh. It's clear.
Yeah,
and it's like writing New Year's resolutions, but it has more of a spiritual slant, and you're also getting the team on board, the Ascended Master team on your team to assist you and to give you the light that you need to accomplish what it is you want to do for the next year.
Yeah, you said it better than I could.
So I guess I've been doing it a lot.
So after the break, around 10:30, all the youth attending the conference are going to be giving a multimedia presentation on raising the Kundalini in adoration of the Father, Mother, and Child. And this will be with a slideshow and music and dance. Then, after their presentation, we consecrate the Karmic Board letters, and there's a candle lighting ceremony and silent meditation before the big event, which is like the highlight of the New Year's conference, is Gautama Buddha's annual New Year's message, during which he presents the thought form or image for 2012. And after his message, then everyone is served the traditional rice pudding. And that tradition, I think, goes back thousands of years to when, I guess, Buddha gave a dissertation after his monks had fasted for a long time, and they broke their fast with the rice pudding. So that's New Year's Eve, and there's several people that are just coming for New Year's Eve. And I forgot to tell you that people who live in Arizona, there's a special one-day rate for the conference. To attend the entire conference, it's $225, and that's for adults. For youth under 20, it's only $90. But if you want to attend it for just one day, like New Year's Eve day, the daily rate would be $75. So that's Saturday. And the last day on Sunday, there's going to be four messages from different masters. Mother Mary Ariel, who has an etheric retreat over Tucson, great divine director, and Sana Kumara and the Holy Kumaras.
Mm.
So that's going to be a packed
that is.
Morning, because the conference gets over at 1 o'clock in the afternoon. So we got four messages from like 9 a.m. to 1.
Well, what a great way to start the year off. It's,
yeah.
It's going to be fun. It's a lot of fun with the music and so and informative. It's everything in one. And I would encourage people to go. I went to the one that was in Phoenix, I think, a couple of years ago, and it was wonderful too. I wasn't able to go every day, but I made most of the days.
Was that the Easter conference?
It was a New Year's, so must have been about 3 years ago, huh? Three or four
that
years.
That was the it was New Year's 2006, 2007.
Uh-huh.
That was the first conference I went attended.
Yeah, that was great. Well, this place where it's being held, Spirit in the Desert, they have a website,
mm-hmm.
and I was looking at the website, the pictures, and that whole area is so beautiful, and I know the weather has got to be great that time of year in Phoenix, carefree for a conference, not too hot.
Yeah, I think it should warm up between now and then.
Uh-huh.
It's been unseasonably cold, so I think it'll probably be unseasonably warm.
Yeah.
That weekend. And I hope some of your listeners can attend. We still have about 10 more beds available. If people mm-hmm. are interested in registering, they can go to the... You can't call the Spirit in the Desert to register. You have to register through the Art Center if you want to register for the entire conference. However, if you just want to attend one day, like New Year's Eve day, you can just come to the Spirit in the Desert and you can pay at the door. And pretty sure you can also pay for the, if you want to stay overnight, since it's going to be a late night, you can pay for your room for New Year's Eve and meals. The meals are $44 a day. And that's breakfast, lunch, and dinner. And they're like what you would get at a four-star restaurant at a resort.
Mm-hmm. That's what I was saying. It was just top-of-the-line spa, resort, just a place where you can totally relax and be with the Ascended Masters and the angelics and map out the next year for your spiritual growth and service. You know, I noticed that David did a BBS radio show on December uh-huh. the 16th, Cosmic Love with Christopher Rudy. I wonder if he talked about the conference.
He probably did, didn't he? Yeah, I haven't listened to that replay yet.
Yes, it's on the website. If anybody wants to hear David, who is the how does David like to refer to himself
as spiritual director of the heart?
Spiritual kind of. Director. You just have to go to the website, and on the front page, on the home page, you click on the audio listen for that date, and you can hear him directly. I'm sure he spoke to this conference. This is quite the conference coming up. Wayne, I wanted you sent an email out to all of your friends, your beautiful uh-huh. video that you made, Beyond 2012, A Vision of the Golden Crystal Age of Aquarius.
Uh-huh.
If anybody would like, I know you've had 9,000 viewers.
Close to 10,000.
Yeah, are you up to 10,000 now? You
want to? I haven't looked recently, but I think it's almost 10,000.
Well, how could the people listening, how could they go view that video. That is the most beautiful video.
Can just go to YouTube and type in 2012.
Beyond 2012?
Beyond 2012 and Vision, and it'll be the first one on the list.
That is such a beautiful vision for what we, for me, return to Shambhala, for where we want to go from here.
It's funny that you mentioned that, because on New Year's Eve, everyone's going to be given a booklet which is similar to that video, which has some of the same artwork of Mario Duguay.
Mm.
It's going to be our New Year's Eve gift to everyone attending the conference.
Well, these
so
visions.
I think my time is over, so I'll have to say goodbye and I hope to see some of you at the conference.
Well, thank you so much, Wayne, for being on the show and for talking about the conference, and I hope to see you there.
Yes, I'm looking forward to seeing you and everyone else.
All right, great. Well, have a wonderful holiday, and I'll see you soon. Thank you.
Merry Christmas.
Thank you. Well, everybody, I'm encouraging you to go to that conference in Carefree, Arizona. What a great way to spend New Year's holiday with the masters and with people, like-minded people, beautiful surroundings, nice weather, delicious food, and a chance to unwind and plan your year. What do you want to accomplish this year, this coming year, 2012? What a huge year this is going to be. We can really have whatever we want according to what all the masters are telling us. If we ask, we will receive. Ask and you shall receive. And this is the year where our dreams can really come true. I'm gonna change the subject a little bit tonight. I've had a lot of guests on, and we've talked about 2012. We've talked about return to Shambhala, how we're going to this beautiful fifth dimensional reality where we have cooperation. We have unconditional love, we have abundance, all of these wonderful things that we envision for ourselves, a heaven on earth. And that is truly where we're going. One way to speed that process up is to be able to stay in that unconditional love space, that place where you see the perfection in everything. You see the perfection in your own faults and other people's. You just love unconditionally whatever is going on, because everything that's happening is for a reason, and it's pointing you towards where you want to go with this lifetime. One of the laws of higher consciousness is to love yourself unconditionally and love others unconditionally. That's the law. Love everyone unconditionally, including yourself. So we can't get down on ourselves. We have to feel that we can make a mistake and that we still love ourselves, even though that we have made some terrible mistakes, some little mistakes, whatever. It doesn't matter. We have to believe that we're on the path, we're growing, and this is a process that we're going through right now. The book that I'm referring to right now, it's been around since 1975. It's called Handbook to Higher Consciousness by Ken Keyes Jr. And Ken was a friend of my husband's back in the 70s. Ken was a paraplegic. He at one time was a huge businessman in Miami. He owned real estate. He sold real estate. He was a millionaire. He had everything going for him. And then he was became paralyzed from the neck down. He could only move his head a little bit and his facial muscles. And this was really hard for Ken, because he had been so active and such a busy person that here he is in this wheelchair, unable to do what he was able to do before. And he started taking pity on himself. Oh, poor Ken, look at me. I'm paralyzed. What am I going to do? And then he had a sort of an out-of-body experience where he became the watcher of himself. He lifted up out of his body and he looked down and he saw himself there in the chair, feeling sorry for himself. Well, like a movie. He was watching himself in a movie that he could detach himself from the Ken, the person, the human form. And he realized that he was much more than just a human body, that he was way more than that. And so he started going in instead of outward. He went inside himself and he came up with a great process to be more loving and to be more in the now, to be able to cope with life's stresses and adversities. So in the book, he has 12 pathways to higher consciousness. But first, what he teaches is we have to get in touch with what it is that we are attached to. Like in the Buddhist religion, they talk about attachment. Because you're attached to something, you are unhappy. If you're attached to having a perfect body, like Ken probably had, or to being rich, and you don't have it, then you're not happy. And what Ken used instead of attachment is he used the word addiction. So we have an addiction to having a perfect body, money, whatever, you know, fill in the blank. We have to have it or else we're not going to be happy. And what those attachments go along the chakras, the three lower chakras. So the first chakra, as you know, as most of you know, the chakras, there's seven in-body chakras. Of course, there's more now because we're in the higher dimensions. But the first chakra is called the security center, the security chakra where you are preoccupied with food, with shelter, whatever gives you security, your basic needs are in that chakra. So if you're worried about food, about money to buy food or money that you're going to lose your home, your shelter, whatever it is for that to make you feel secure, you get upset. Then the second center is the sensation center. Some people say it's the sexual chakra, the second chakra. But here is where people become very unhappy because they don't feel like they have the pleasures of life that they need, the sensations. There's not enough sex in their life, or there's not enough music or taste of food and these kind of things. So when they don't have these things, these sensations, you know, alcohol, drugs, you know, fill in the blank, they become upset, off-center, aggravated, agitated. The third center of unhappiness is the power center. And this is the center where a person wants to dominate the situation. It's like a director in a movie saying, it has to be this way. You know, we're going to have to retake that scene because you didn't do it right. We have to do it this way. And this has to do with prestige. It has to do with wealth, pride. This is a lot more involved than the security and the sensation center. And it's very easy to get stuck in this center and find yourself ourselves unhappy. We can't control the situation. We can't manipulate it. And then we're upset. And then we try, the harder we fail, the harder we try, and the more disappointed and aggravated we become. So those are the three lower centers, or the three lower chakras. Then the fourth center, or the chakra, is the love center from the heart. And this is where we have feelings of harmony. We come into our heart and we feel compassion for others. We feel compassion for ourselves, for our dramas that we're caught up in, our security, our sensation, and our power. And we are able to start to love from this center unconditionally, even love ourselves, knowing that we're not perfect and that we have all of these hang-ups in these lower chakras, these lower centers. The fifth of the seventh center is called the cornucopia center, and this is a wonderful center of consciousness. This is a great feeling where you are experiencing the world in a very pleasant way. The world is friendly. You see the perfection in the world. You still have addictions in the three lower centers, but basically you see the perfection in all that is. And as you begin to reprogram your addictions or your attachments, you spend more time in the fifth center, the cornucopia center. It's the horn of plenty that gives you more than what you need to be happy. The sixth center is the conscious awareness center, and it's a very liberating center from which your conscious awareness watches your body and mind perform on the lower five centers. So you're in a very non-judgmental conscious state, witnessing your drama, like watching your own movie, your play, from this center. And you're very impartial. You love it. You see your role and the games you're playing, and you're free of fear. You say, well, this is a game. I'm just playing a game here, and I'm learning from it, and it's all okay. And then the last of the seventh center of consciousness is the cosmic consciousness center. And this is when we live fully in the sixth center of consciousness and we're ready to transcend self-awareness and become pure awareness. And this is where we see the unity of all life. We're one with everything. We don't see separation. And everything is love, peace, energy, beauty, wisdom, clarity, oneness. We know that we have to work on these three lower centers to get to the fourth, fifth, sixth, and seventh centers of consciousness. And how do we do this? Well, Ken has 12 pathways to higher consciousness. And what you do is you go to the book and you read the pathways. And when you feel yourself being pulled off center, you realize, uh-oh, I have an addiction here. Where is this coming from? Is this coming from security, sensation, or power? And then you replace it with one of the pathways to higher consciousness of unconditional love and oneness. So it's broken down into four categories. The first three pathways are about freeing myself. So let's say, let me try to think of an example. I'm not happy because I haven't worked for a month. And I'm worried, I've got money saved, but I haven't worked for a month. And what am I going to do? So what I'm going to do is I'm going to say, I'm freeing myself. Here's the first pathway. I am freeing myself from security addictions that make me try to forcefully control situations in my life and thus destroy my serenity and keep me from loving myself and others. Or the second one of freeing myself, I'm discovering how my conscious dominating addiction creates my illusory version of the changing world of people and situations around me. And then the third one, which I use this a lot, I welcome the opportunity, even if painful, that my minute-to-minute experience offers me to become aware of the addictions I must reprogram to be liberated from my robot-like emotional patterns. So, okay, I haven't worked for a month. I do have money and I have a job, but I just haven't been able to work for a month. So I know it's coming from the first center. I'm scared. And I can go into three more pathways being here now. Number four, I always remember that I have everything I need to enjoy my here and now, unless I am letting my consciousness be dominated by demands, expectations based on the dead past or the imagined future. So, yes, right now my bills are paid, my mortgage is paid, I've got money in the bank. And the only thing I'm really worried about is the future. And it doesn't even exist yet. So I always remember that I have everything I need here and now. So you come into the now, being here now. Everything is fine now. And not going into the future and worrying and because that's just going to create that kind of reality if you keep projecting those thoughts and feelings into the future. That's not where you want to go. And then another thing about being here and now is taking full responsibility. We have to take full responsibility for everything that's going on in our lives. Why I'm not working, it's my responsibility. I chose that. So the fifth pathway, I take full responsibility here and now for everything I experience. For it is my own programming that creates my actions and also influences the reactions of people around me. I think back in the 70s, that's when we really, as a collective consciousness, we realized that everything that was happening to us was due to our own creation. We realized, I did this to myself. No one else did it to me. I created it, and I can uncreate it. And that was a big jump in consciousness. It really happened in 72. And as a matter of fact, that's when the Sirians from the Sirius star system, that's when they really said, we are really going to do everything we can to save this planet and take it into the higher dimensions. Just by those that accepting full responsibility for everything that's happening. If you believe in reincarnation, you chose your parents. You chose the scenario to embody in. You chose planet Earth. You chose your parents. You chose many things in advance to help with your process or your service, or whatever mission you had to do when you embodied on the planet Earth. And then the sixth being here now pathway to higher consciousness is, I accept myself completely here and now and consciously experience everything I feel, think, say, and do, including my emotion-backed addictions, as a necessary part of my growth into higher consciousness. All right, so interacting with others. Interacting with others is difficult because everybody kind of has their own thing, and it's really hard and working in the world of work or being in relationships, close relationships with significant others, husbands, wives, children. It's difficult, but it's still a great opportunity to grow in consciousness, to accept others unconditionally. So number seven, the 12th pathways, number seven, I open myself genuinely to all people by being willing to fully communicate my deepest feelings, since hiding in any degree keeps me stuck in my illusion of separateness from other people. Now, this was very tricky for me at first because I was under the impression that I have to tell everybody what I'm thinking. But that's not it. I need to tell people what I'm feeling. There's a big difference between thinking and feeling. I'm feeling like you don't love me. Instead of, I'm thinking you're just doing your own thing. I'm feeling this or I'm feeling that. And that really opens us up to feeling unity with the person that we're interacting with, to talk about our feelings, our true feelings. Now, when you're working with other people or people that have problems, you want to save them, you want to rescue them, or you feel sometimes you get kind of drained because they are, they want your support. But you know what? You can support them, but kind of be detached from them. And the program, the pathway to this kind of a scenario is, I feel with loving compassion the problems of others without getting caught up emotionally in their predicaments that are offering them messages that they need for their growth. So if someone's telling you about all of their problems and their situation, you're listening and you're, But at the same time, in your heart, you're feeling, ooh, I feel compassion for you, but I'm not going to let my emotions get caught up in your emotions. I'm going to stay a little bit back and realize that these are things that you need for your own growth and evolution. Number 9, the 9th pathway, I act freely when I am tuned in, centered, and loving, but if possible, I avoid acting when I am emotionally upset and depriving, which deprives me of wisdom that flows from love and expanded consciousness. So this is the kind of thing, count to 10, don't blurt things out, go ask for a timeout, go be to yourself until you've calmed the emotional body down, and through whatever ways you can to make that interaction with others more loving and not turn into an argument or a fight, if at all possible. Now, the last three pathways, discovering my conscious awareness. Number 10, I am continually calming the restless scanning of my rational mind in order to perceive the finer energies that enable me to intuitively merge with everything around me. So let's say that you're upset with something at work and your mind is just going, oh, they're so crazy there. Everything is so backwards or da 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 da, and this mind is going and going and going, and so you say, I am calming my restless scanning rational mind. Calm it down. And these are all how to reprogram these addictions, these emotion-backed addictions that are keeping us separate and keeping us from going to Shambhala, where we all know we're going and where we want to go. The sooner the better, as far as I'm concerned. And if I can do something to accelerate that growth, I'm going to do it. And I've found that these pathways are a great way to keep me centered and in a higher state of consciousness. Number 11, I am constantly aware of which of the 7 centers of consciousness I am using, and I feel my energy, perceptiveness, love, and inner peace growing as I open all the centers of consciousness. So there's nothing wrong with being in the security center. It's great to have a beautiful home and have those things that make us feel secure. Just don't want to get addicted to it. If it burns down, I have an insurance policy that'll pay to rebuild it, or I just can't be addicted to those things. I enjoy it while I have it, but I'm not addicted to it. I have in the 2nd center, I enjoy delicious food. I enjoy beautiful music. I enjoy a relationship. these kinds of things that bring sensation. But, you know, if my lover leaves me, that's just the way it goes. I'll find somebody else, or I know how to reprogram so that when I lose the sensations that I think I need, I can do without, or I can replace it. Number 12, I am perceiving everyone, including myself, as an awakening being who is here to claim his or her birthright to the higher consciousness planes of unconditional love and oneness. So I highly recommend this book. It's sold over a million copies. It's amazing to think that a million people are working on their thoughts and their feelings to gain higher consciousness in this reality. It says, I don't know how many times this has been reprinted. This one I bought I remember paying $2 for this book back in the 70s. It was reprinted, the 28th printing was in 1995. So a total of 1,108,000 books were sold between 92 and 95. And it's still out there. Ken has passed on. He's no longer with us here on Earth. I can't remember what year he died, but I remember thinking, you know, what a great thing he's done to help us back when we were really having a hard time seeing what was actually happening in our day-to-day lives, why we were upset, why we weren't in a higher state of consciousness. Well, anyway, I have rambled on and on and on, and I hope you have a wonderful holiday season. I hope to see you in Carefree, Arizona for the conference with the Heart Center. Please, if you will, go to our website, Heart Center, HEARTS Center.org, and register to come. We'd love to have you there. And if you would, please watch Wayne Purden's beautiful video, Beyond 2012, A Vision of the Golden Crystal Age of Aquarius. Well, this is Vicki Goodwin, Return to Shambhala, saying goodbye and peace and love to everyone. I will see you January the 2nd. 2012. Have a wonderful new year. Thank you for listening, and have a wonderful holiday.